This morning, our Archdiocese celebrated the ordination of three young men to the priesthood. And as Archbishop Laurie pointed out, as each of their names were called and they were summoned into the sanctuary of the Cathedral of Mary our Queen, each of them had to give a simple response. One word, present. And as the Archbishop reminded them later in his homily, they weren't just saying that they had somehow made it to church on time, but rather they were presenting themselves, that each of them was fully present and ready to serve, to give of themselves for the sake of the kingdom, to offer their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. On their wedding day, brides and grooms face each other and exchange their vows, either by answering a series of questions or reciting a series of statements. And in doing so, they basically receive one another as spouse and literally give themselves to one another as spouse. Individually, sacrificing their personal preferences for the good of their family, and please God, for the good of their children. They offer, they give themselves. In the gospel this evening, we see the disciples in a bit of a conundrum. Five loaves, two fish, a massive crowd of thousands upon thousands of people, all who are hungry, all who are thirsty. How would that meager amount of food be sufficient for so many? Jesus says, "What do you have?" They give it. They offer it. And somehow in doing so, it's returned to them. Not as just a meager portion, but as a feast capable of satisfying the need of the thousands. As we celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi today, my friends, we look to that moment that started when Jesus Christ Himself gave Himself over. Now think about it for a moment, what that meant. He wasn't merely saying, "I'm here, I showed up on the scene." He offered Himself over, as we heard in the second reading. "This is my body," He said, "given up for you. This is the cup of my blood poured out for you." He gave Himself. What do we have to give today? Symbolically, something rather simple. Bread, wine. From the elements that God provides. From the work of simple human hands. But when that bread and that wine is placed on the altar, it doesn't appear to be all that much. How could this meager amount of bread and wine satisfy even the hundreds gathered today? Here's the miracle. It's not meant just to satisfy our physical longings. It goes much deeper. But to get to where we are today, look at what happened. When Jesus presented himself, when he offered himself, he wasn't in pristine condition. As he offered himself on the altar of the cross, his body was bruised, bloody, beaten, and defiled. A victim of senseless violence. And yet he offered himself. And on the surface, it appeared that he only offered himself over to death. But it was through his death, beaten and bloodied as he was, that the miracle of life came forth in his resurrection. If you visit a town outside of Rome, Orvieto, you go to the local cathedral, and in one of the side altars, in what resembles, is very much like a monstrance, rather than being round and holding a sacred host, it's square and holds the relic of a corporal, the altar linen placed on the altar for the celebration of Mass. And you look at it closely, you can see that it's been stained by blood. The story goes that there was a priest who was entertaining his doubts. His doubts about his faith, his doubts about whether Christ was really, truly present in the Eucharist. And he decided to make the long journey from his hometown in Eastern Europe on pilgrimage to Rome. He made the trip. Still, had not been able to rediscover his faith. And on his way home, wondering whether he'd still be able to, in good conscience, be able to celebrate the Mass as a priest, he stopped in Orvieto and celebrated the Eucharist. As he did so, after the words of consecration, the sacred host began to bleed. His doubts were eradicated. My friends, my purpose in telling the story is not to say that our faith in the Eucharist depends on that Eucharistic miracle or any other, although there are throngs of them that you can read about and study that defy any scientific explanation. But you see, until we are ready to give ourselves back, to surrender our doubts, there's going to be that wall that keeps us from being able to fully recognize and acknowledge the grace and the beauty that Jesus is each time we receive him. And when we don't understand that, I think we lose a piece of it. You see, when we hear the word Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, it should touch us on a number of levels. Obviously, that bread, that wine, when it's been consecrated, and we hear the word of the priest or the minister hold the host or the chalice up saying, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, we respond, amen. Yes, I believe. I'm one with this mystery. But lest we focus our attention only towards that host, only towards that moment, we need to remember that that also is a proclamation of your identity. As a baptized believer, you are called to become that which you receive, to be the body of Christ. That's our identity as church. And to get to that point to where it's life-giving, we have to give our lives. In the life of an ordained priest, one of those poignant moments is when the priest takes that host in his hand and pronounces the words, "This is my body, given up for you." People of God, you should hear those words of Christ, because that's what He did. Priests of God need to utter those words in every time, renewing our commitment of giving our body up, giving our lives up to the Lord, giving them back. You see, we as body of Christ, as church today, we should begin to understand what it means to give ourselves up. Just as Christ's corporeal body was beaten, was bruised, was bloodied, was scorned, so is the experience of the church today. Christians in the far reaches of the world sadly know what it's like to see their lives disrupted, even as engaging in the very act of worship, find themselves subject to martyrdom. In our own experience, we know what it's like to have doubts conjured up, suspicions raised, doubts nurtured. When we see the state of the church today, we could easily just want to walk away and say, is this real? Is this truth? Is this worth it? I can't imagine that Jesus didn't have those thoughts cross his mind as he carried the cross to Calvary. But he moved ahead. My friends, many of the wounds that we experience are self-inflicted in our own lives by our sins, in the lives of the church, by the poor decisions and the sinful behaviors of others. But nonetheless, it's the same reality. This is my body, he said, broken, given up for you. This is my blood, shed, poured out for you. And it's in that brokenness that redemption happens. It's in that dying that rising to new life takes place. My friends, as much as at one time in the last year, I believed it was one of the most trying times to be a priest, today I tell you, today it's one of the most exciting times to be a priest. For you, it should be one of the most exciting times to be a Christian, to be a Catholic. Because here's the grace, here's the blessing, and here's the challenge. You have been parachuted. I have been parachuted. into mission territory. We live in a culture of skeptics, of cynics, of doubters, and naysayers. But guess what? When you find yourself in what appears to be darkness, it doesn't take a whole lot of light to break it. My friends, you and I are called to be those lights. You and I are His body. When you come before the Lord in a few moments and receive Him, recognize you're not just eating. You're being joined to Him. In very much the same way that two spouses join themselves to one another. And those meetings beget life. When Christ is joined to you and you receive Him, accept Him, and celebrate Him, you have life. You have life. Even when the darkness seems to prevail, even when you may feel tempted to give up all hope, even when the world around you looks like it's in a spiral, you have life. For you have Christ. Hear those words. This is my body, He tells you, given up for you.